Should we at this point just kind of dovetail into and
sure.
Judge Gargatta's opinion?
Yeah, I think so.
And so Judge Gargatta, as Mr. Rochelle spoke about this morning, issued an opinion. If anybody wants the Penn site, it is actually 2022 Westlaw 16858009. So that was 16858009. I apologize. And so it's hot off the presses. If this is an issue that you're going to be having to deal with, certainly read both Cleary and Judge Gargatta's opinion. As indicated this morning, Judge Gargatta did a great job of dissecting everything that the Fourth Circuit put out. One of the points that I like within the facts of the GFS case is that the plaintiff in that one, it was Avion Funding. And they were an MCA lender. And anybody who, particularly on the debtor side, has to deal with MCA lenders, the fact that they tried to bring a claim against the borrower, which was our debtor, saying they were unfair. They didn't tell me everything. They didn't tell me that there was another MCA lender in front of me. How dare they? Which, you know, takes a little bit of gumption coming from an MCA lender because
MCA lenders are people, too.
Leave that one right there. In a nutshell, what Judge Gargatta did was said, yeah, you know, the Fourth Circuit, yeah, it's great, everything that you said. I'm going to look at the preamble to 523. And 523 says this applies to individuals. 1129 references 523. And so if it's saying 523, which says applies to individuals, I don't really need to go too much beyond this. But I will, because there's this Fourth Circuit opinion that's out there. And then, as we said, Judge Gargatta kind of went through and knocked it out of the park on all of those. Before I turn it over, one thing that I do want to point out to the practitioners out there is that in order to actually to procedurally set it up, if you are on the creditor side, you have to not only file your 523 action, but you also have to have an objection to confirmation. Because in order for 1192 to come into effect, it has to be a plan confirmed that's over an objection. If it's without an objection, 1192 is not triggered. Mm-hmm. So procedurally, it's not only filing your adversary, but you also have to file your objection to confirmation. Because I think that would be pretty embarrassing if you file the adversary, plan gets confirmed without an objection, and then what happens to this adversary that is just like a ship sailing without an actual course?
No, that's a good point.
I think that no matter what, if you're practicing the sub 5 case, the GFS opinion is a must read. I mean, obviously, you heard all the accolades that Bill Rochelle threw out to Judge Gargatta. I happen to know from talking to Judge Gargatta that the law clerk who wrote it, the original draft, is here. So, again, I do believe it's a must read. And obviously, you need to read Cleary as well, because it's the other side. But, again.
Agreed. And in GFS, Judge Gargatta, I mean, he focuses strongly on the first sentence of 523A and states that it clearly limits the denial of a discharge to an individual debtor. So that's sort of your preamble in 523. Judge Gargatta also distinguishes the Chapter 12 opinion of JRB Consolidated that was written by Judge Kelly in 1995. And so that is a Chapter 12 opinion where Judge Kelly found that you could use 523 to accept the discharge under 523 for a corporate Chapter 12 debtor. And so it's a little bit awkward in that analysis. It's, you know, it'll be interesting to see if that Chapter 12 opinion now gets revisited mm-hmm. in light of this dispute, to see how that's potentially reconciled, because there is some language that is similar in Chapter 12, and I think that's the language that the Cleary Court focused on, as opposed to Judge Gargatta, who says, no, that's just, you know, it's still a Chapter 11, so you can't extrapolate from Chapter 12 and analogize it because you're still in Chapter 11. It's not a separate chapter. It's a subset of Chapter 11. And so here's a question that just came in. Mm-hmm. If you get a 523 complaint for a corporate Subchapter 5 debtor, can you then unelect Subchapter 5 so you can get the full discharge?
Well, that does also kind of touch upon one of the other topics that we're going to be coming up on, case law out there about unelecting the sub-5 option in your petition. So it certainly seems like it's an available exit if that's what you're dealing with.
And again, it'll be a question on timing and something that we'll hit in the materials. But, you know, so the question is, do you fight the good fight in the 523, you know, file your motion to dismiss, as Bill said, right. You know, use this as your debtor's brief.
Sure, that's right.
In terms of the GFS opinion. And then your next, you know, possibility is, you know, do you attempt to unelect?
Right. And I think, you know, unelection is, it's interesting. I haven't seen anyone unelect subchapter 5. I have seen cases where the debtor has elected later, but I haven't seen anyone unelect subchapter 5. And I don't see where you couldn't. I mean, you know, amendments are construed pretty liberally. I think you'd have to prove, you know, some unfair prejudice to the creditor. And again, I think that could be a timing issue. And like I say, there's a case that we've got in our materials that we'll get to that talks about that. Specifically. So, all right. So let's talk about Gregory Funding versus Ventura.
And I'll jump into this one. So sure. This one is a case that is, you know, not too dissimilar to some of the other cases that I know we were talked about last year, where a debtor was already trucking along in their Chapter 11. And in this case, trucking along for quite a long time over a bed and breakfast. It's a beautiful bed and breakfast on the North Shore of Long Island. You can look it up, it is not very big. I think they rent out 3 rooms, and said it's great for a corporate retreat.